For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
SoCal's Country Station, 95.1 K-Frog. I'm Pepper. This is Spirit of the IE. Assuming you aren't a veteran or someone else who suffers from post-traumatic stress, fireworks can be fun. But those big booms and cracks are terrifying for our furry friends, and more pets go missing on the 4th of July than at any other time of the year. Here to discuss how to keep our furry family members safe during the 4th of July and all summer long is Daylene Valencia, an animal services manager for Riverside County Department of Animal Services, and volunteer Larry Rudolph. Thank you for joining me.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
Glad we're here.
Yeah.
Gentlemen, start by telling us about the services that RCDAS provides.
A plethora of services. So we have return to owner, which is applicable to what we're talking about today. We have microchip services. We have vaccination services. We have adoptions, of course, and foster opportunities, a lot of rescue opportunities. And we do a lot of field work out in the community, a lot of outreach that we do to try to get animals to be either vaccinated, microchipped. So yeah, responsible ownership, we're always pushing.
What kind of increases do you see in shelter intake on and immediately following the 4th of July?
Yeah, in my experience, I've been with the county for about 13 years now, and it's always the busiest time of the year during 4th of July. So the week before and the week after is always when we get the most animals in. So it's a festive time and people are hanging out with their families and things like that. But it's also a scary time for the pets, and we see a lot of lost pets coming in, yeah, around that time.
I mean, there's times where we're saying, like, in just that 4th of July weekend, we'll get like 50 dogs. It's just, that's unbelievable. And a lot of them aren't tagged. We're hoping that people will microchip them and or tag.
And what does this increase mean for the animals who are already in the shelter?
Yeah, so definitely feeling the pressure from all the animals coming in before the 4th of July. I mean, once the 4th of July hits, obviously the overcrowding gets a lot worse. So obviously we're trying anything we can to encourage the community to not bring those lost pets in and do whatever they can to keep those pets out and try to reunite them with their owner. But yeah, the already pressure that the shelters are feeling with 300, 400 plus dogs and about 200 cats, that just starts to add to the overcrowding situation.
So what steps can pet owners take ahead of time to keep their pets calm and safe when fireworks go off?
Yeah, definitely. So creating a secure and safe place for their pets. So if you are in your neighborhood and you hear fireworks in the front or the back, obviously plan to put the pet the furthest away from the fireworks sound. Putting a radio on, putting K-Frog on, you know, having them hang out and listen to the radio and giving them a distraction, even if it's like a TV or radio, just music, something to distract them. Definitely want to make sure windows and doors are securely latched so that they don't escape when they get spooked. There's a lot of different things. There's some calming aids that you can look into for your pets. Hopefully helps calm them. Blankets, pillows, things to just keep them secure and safe.
PetSmart, Petco. A lot of online outfits are now advertising to have those type of medications, you know, for your animals. And like Dalen was saying, there's also a thunder blanket that you strap on to your dogs. Mm-hmm. Another good thing is that most people have their dogs outside. I don't know what the percentage is, but you want to try to bring your dogs inside. It's the best way of not losing them when the fireworks start. And you know, it's not only the day before, but the day after too, where people are lighting off these fireworks and everybody thinks everything's okay, but they're still firing them off. The dogs, you know, take off.
It seems like a month-long celebration.
Yeah,
like the fireworks really have already started.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
And they're going to continue.
Yeah. I mean, even in my neighborhood, I've been hearing it week, 2 weeks before. Yeah.
If a pet does go missing, what should an owner do?
So there, yeah, like Larry was saying, there's a lot of different resources that they can use now. There's things like, we just partnered up with Petco Love Lost, and they use facial recognition to match owners with their lost pets. So if you lose your pet, you can register that pet on Petco Love Lost. And if somebody has registered a found pet, they'll use facial recognition to match. And then you get an alert right when that match is made, and then you can reunite with the owner. We have things like Paw Boost, Nextdoor. Petco Love Lost just integrated with Nextdoor. So these companies are using each other as a resource to find lost pets.
And then they can also come in to our office, any one of the Riverside facilities, and there's a kiosk that they can look, and we take a picture of every dog that comes in, and they can review that. They can also do it online, rcdas.org, and they can actually use their cell phone or computer, and they can see all the dogs that we've picked up. We immediately take pictures and assign them a number when they come in.
Yeah, it's really important to use all the resources that are available to you, whether it be social media, Facebook groups. I've even seen people post on their Craigslist. Yeah, to really get the word out there that you're missing your pet. The same vice versa, if you found a lost pet, post it everywhere, because we're seeing once the animal enters the shelter, we're not seeing a lot of reunions that way, whether it be people are fearful of the shelter or coming in, and we're willing to work with any fees and things like that. But once they enter the shelter, we're at a disadvantage. So keeping them out of the shelter, trying to find the owner, because these pets have owners, it's clear. Most of them are social and they're good with other dogs. So we know there's an owner out there somewhere. So just take those, we always call it the magical 72 hours. If you take those 3 days to really do the groundwork and do research, the chances are a lot higher that you're going to find the owner.
Tell us how microchipping works.
So microchipping, it goes in between the shoulder blades close to the neck area. So it's just an implant, just a microchip. A lot of people think it's like a GPS or a tracker. That's not the case. It's just a microchip so that a scanner, once you scan the pet between the shoulder blades, a number pops up. That number, we can look it up through microchip lookup resources, or we can look it up at the shelter. I know veterinarians, they have that, the accessibility to look up a microchip, and then the owner's information pops up.
Now, RCDS has also deployed these scanners to volunteers. Yes. With RCDS. So there are out there in the community, as well as like at fire stations, or how does someone find out if a pet has been microchipped?
Yeah, I mean, Larry could talk on this. I know that he has a microchip scanner at home that he, you know, has accessible to him. And we are always encouraging the community to, we have a surplus of microchip scanners that we could lend out to folks, that if you're just one of those folks that all of a sudden, like, always comes across a lost pet for whatever reason. I know there's people out there that always see a lost pet. Come get a microchip scanner and be an advocate and ambassador for us in finding those owners.
I'm speaking with Dalen Valencia, an animal services manager for Riverside County Department of Animal Services, and Larry Rudolph, who volunteers with RCDAS. As we head into the summer months and things start to heat up, is it ever safe to leave a pet in a car unattended?
Never. Never, ever. Nope. And there could be some real legal repercussions when you do that. If you think that, I mean, even on a 70, 80 degree day, if the windows are up and the pet's in there, I mean, those temperatures can get up to 90, 100 in the car. So it's never safe, especially in the summer months when it's getting a lot hotter. Never, never something that someone should do.
Yeah, even if you crack the windows, it really doesn't make a difference on those hot days. It's very dangerous for children too, but especially for pets.
And during the summer months, what are some ways that we can keep our pets cool?
Yeah, obviously keep them inside in an air-conditioned area. If that's not plausible, then you can get things like little pools. I know there's a lot of kiddie pools that we use actually at our shelter for play groups, and when animals are outside of their kennel, we use kiddie pools, so that'll keep them cool. Splash pads, things like that. I know our Coachella Valley, they still run their play groups even sometimes in like 90 degree weather, and those animals are loving it because we have a giant splash pad that's keeping them cool. So things like that can be used.
Yeah, there's a few of us that are trained for what Dalen was talking about, play groups, where we have a couple of volunteers, and of course the regular staff can do it, but we have some volunteers, there's three of us, that are trained to take 3 and 4 dogs out into a play area, and especially during summertime, it's for their exercise, but we have 3 or 4 pools that are donated, and we let them play in the water and together, and it seems to help with the adoption too, that they get more friendly because they're interacting with other dogs and out of the kennel, you know, situation.
Mm-hmm. And how about leaving water out for pets who are outside pets? Is there too much water that you can leave out for them?
No. I mean, a lot of times we'll get like welfare checks if it's a hotter day and a pet is left out and there's an empty water bowl. You just have to be mindful, especially now it's so hot that those animals are can drink too much water, right? And can have health issues that way. So leave enough water, maybe a cup or two, but also be mindful of how your pet is doing. If your pet mostly stays outside, keep an eye out. Make sure the pet is watered, but leave something that the pet can access easily as far as water goes.
And then try to have some kind of shade for them also, if you can, no matter what type of shade it is, umbrella, even a dog hut, something that they can go into the shade and stay away from the sun.
So walking our pets is good, but walking on hot asphalt is not. Can you discuss that?
Yeah, we actually just put out a social media play. If you follow our social media, we just posted something about that. Really, really dangerous, especially as it's getting hotter, to walk your animals on. Even concrete can get hot, but asphalt especially can really burn. Their pads are really, really sensitive. So whether it be walking them earlier in the morning or at night, or I know they sell cute little doggy shoes that they could wear, those help too. Because, yeah, I mean, and the animal's not going to, they're enjoying the walk. So it's, you're going to see the damage after the fact. And that's tough for the animal.
A lot of people like to take their pets on picnics with them. What are some things that pet owners should be aware of when bringing their pets on a picnic?
Definitely keep them leashed. That's first and the priority. Definitely keep them leashed. Even if your animal is considered to be, you know, good off of leash and, you know, has good recall and all that stuff. But keep your pet on leash, because you don't know if when you're going to a park or another area, you don't know what else is around. So keeping your pet safe with a leash, and obviously bring enough water so the animal doesn't get dehydrated, and, you know, especially as it's getting hotter. But yeah, also to be mindful of other pets in the area. If you're going to a park, most people hopefully are responsible enough to keep their pet leashed and all is fine.
And of course, we're heading into fire season. So how should pet owners prepare for, heaven forbid, an evacuation?
Yeah, it definitely gets scarier in the drier months with fire season. Having a go bag is very, very important. Having the essentials for just in case if you live in an area that frequently sees fires, or, you know, we had a lot last year where evacuation orders were put in place. Having a go bag, and that includes having the go bag ready for your pet, having a food bowl, having a water bowl, having leash, so that you can easily gather all your belongings and get your pet out safely and your family out safely.
Yeah, especially if you can have a crate, depending on the size of the dog, of course, is having a crate in case you have to bring it to us. We have a group, in fact, I'm part of that as a volunteer. It's called RIRS, and RIRS, Riverside County Emergency Animal Rescue. And we get called when there is a fire. We'll get called out along with the staff that's already in animal control there, you know, at any one of our stations. And we roll out. And usually it's for the horses, but we do occasionally run into pigs, goats, llamas. I mean, it's unbelievable what some people have. But we will. We'll pick all those up, or we'll stage in a facility like a high school, and people can bring us their animals, and then we take them to one of our facilities.
Mm-hmm. Why is it so important to spay and neuter our pets?
Because what we're seeing here in the shelter system is a lot of animals coming in, mostly probably were puppies that grew up, maybe became difficult to handle, or, you know, didn't get their proper microchipping and all of that done. Now they're into the shelter system. So definitely important to spay and neuter all your pets, and to make sure that, you know, we're not having any mass repopulation and things like that. But whether it be through a private veterinarian, or I know the Riverside County Department of Animal Services is always trying to make it accessible, easily accessible to the public with spay and neuter. That's our mission, is to make spay and neuter more accessible to our public. So we're getting there. I know there's a lot of vet staff shortages and things like that, but that's always been a goal of ours, is to make it more accessible.
Yeah, you know, it was a great question, because that's the only way we're going to be able to control the animals coming into the shelters, is by spay and neuter. That's why Riverside County does a lot of them free. They do them out there, you know, in different cities, depending on the ones that are low income, you know, type, where they can't afford it. We have a big giant van that we take out there, and we do it for free. It's the only thing that's going to control this, you know, the dogs that are, and cats that are coming into our facilities.
And are there health benefits for the pet who gets spayed or neutered?
I can't touch too much on that part. I don't know the medical side of things. I know that it's a lot healthier for females to get spayed, kind of reduces the risk of ovarian cancer and things like that. Yeah, and a lot of people are worried that, you know, oh, if I neuter or spay my pet, is it going to change the behavior? Is the pet going to get lazy and, you know, overweight and things like that? No, if you keep an active lifestyle and nothing in the routine changes, your pet should be fine. Your pet will be okay.
I'm speaking with Daylen Valencia, an animal services manager for Riverside County Department of Animal Services, and Larry Rudolph, who volunteers with RCDAS. Larry, I'm told you have a mountain lion story for us.
Yeah, we have kids camps twice, two of them every summer. One's going on right now. We had one last week. We like to bring in live animals. One of the outfits out in San Jacinto Wildlife had a mountain lion, and it was stuffed. But the pictures we took, I made it look like real. In fact, I'll show it after the interview. But yeah, it was pretty nice. And they really enjoyed giving these. They gave me some ducks and a mountain lion to bring in so the kids could actually see it and kind of pet it very, very carefully.
Yeah.
It was fun.
How could the community support Riverside County Department of Animal Services?
First, be a volunteer who becomes family to us, like Larry here, who has been with us. How long have you been with us, Larry?
It's 11 years, December.
Yeah, see, so, you know, volunteers are extremely important. Even if it's temporary or not even, you know, you can't give us a lot of your time, be a volunteer with us. If not at the shelter, be an ambassador for out in the community. Help us reunite those lost pets. Help us push the goal of getting everything microchipped, getting everything vaccinated, spayed, neutered. Be a voice for us. Honestly, too, just visit our shelter. If you haven't visited the shelters, either in Riverside, San Jacinto, Coachella Valley, and we have one in Blythe as well, visit the shelters. Come and visit with us. See the population that we have. See the workers that we have. And yeah, be our voice, because a lot of times a shelter gets negative light, but we're all in it for the same reasons of getting animals out and trying to find positive outcomes for these animals. And being a part of the shelter and seeing everything like that will help you out in the community to be our voice.
Yeah, we get a lot of bad press. It's just, I mean, when I read it sometimes on a few of these blogs, it's just unbelievable that, like what Daylen was saying, that they should come. They should visit. I'll give a tour. They can meet me anytime they want. I do behind the scene tours all the time and throughout the whole facility, so they can, you know, they can see what goes on. For some reason, they get this idea that we do all these different negative things, and the people that work there love to work there. The volunteers that work there love to work. They wouldn't be there if they didn't like animals and wanted to take care of them. It's funny how some of the bad press that the facilities get.
What are the benefits of adopting a shelter pet?
I mean, one of the many that's I could think right off the head, they need you. You know, these animals are homeless. For whatever reason, an owner didn't come and pick them up, so they need you. I mean, if you're going to come to the shelter and adopt a pet, you're their saving hero at that moment in time, and you're always going to have a resource at the shelter. We have plenty of staff that are really, really experienced. We have a veterinary staff, a medical staff that can help you with any medical needs, so you have that continued resource a lot more than if you were to find a pet somewhere else. So if you come to the shelter, you're always going to be part of the family and you're going to be with us. And if you have any behavior issues, if you have any medical issues, we will always be a resource to anybody that adopts from us, because you're considered family when that happens too.
And we get a lot of good breeds and even purebreds. I just can't believe sometimes the animals we get in there that you would pay $1,500 for and we adopt it out for $20, the most $105. It's unbelievable. It's just amazing on how, you know, when you have a breeder and you buy a dog from them, the contract's over. When you get it from us, we've got your back the whole time that you have that dog. We'll support you 100%.
Are there foster opportunities at RCDAS?
Definitely. Yeah, and we actually just implemented something called our first date. So it's a opportunity to take an animal, no strings attached. You can take them for a day, for a week, 2 weeks, a month, to essentially take them on a first date. Because we all know, you know, you don't marry on your first date. So there's that opportunity to be like, hey, is this animal going to be good for the family? Is this animal going to be good for my lifestyle? So you can take them home, test them out, you know, see if the animal works out in your family, in your household. And then once that happens, you can come back. We can get the animal spayed or neutered if it hasn't been already, finalize the adoption, and then essentially marry you two to your first date.
Yeah, there's a lot of fostering that's going on, especially, you know, this is kitten season now. And so we're fostering a whole lot of kittens. And it's easy. We even give you all the supplies. Here's all the food. Here's whatever you need. We give it to them to foster.
Yeah, and especially in these this month of June, it's kitten season. So we're seeing an outstanding amount of kittens coming through, whether it be neonates, bottle babies, or just kittens without a mother that are underaged. So especially right now, we need fosters for those underagers more than any time right now.
As soon as you walk in, we have a nursery set up. As soon as you're walking in the facility, on the right-hand side is where all the kittens and the moms are. So it's real easy to see, yeah. And it's hard to not to want to foster, you know, when you see them. It's pretty cool. I'm telling you, the staff, every once in a while you see this working the front desk, she's got a little tiny baby and she's feeding it while she's talking to customers as they come in. Yeah. That's how much they care. Yeah. I mean, it's unreal.
Just like adopting, you will always have us as a resource when fostering. It's not just, hey, okay, take these kittens and that's it. We have a person dedicated to foster, dedicated to if you need a medical checkup, if you need to just talk to somebody and see if you're doing well, we have someone available to you. So you have us as a resource, whether it be supplies or just anything, general questions.
Yeah, I have. Before we were just coming here, Dan said, it's time to go. I said, wait, I've got to get this little tray for the woman that's fostering little kittens. She wants a couple of trays. I said, no problem. So I had to go into the back, get it, give her the trays because she is fostering. Yeah. And then we left and here we are.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Far.
Mm-hmm. I've been speaking with Dalen Valencia, an animal services manager for Riverside County Department of Animal Services, and Larry Rudolph, who volunteers with the shelter. Anything else you want us to know, and where can we go to get more information?
Yeah, definitely check our website out, rcdas.org. Follow us on our social medias. We have an Instagram, we have a Facebook, so follow us on there for any updates that we have. We're pretty active on those social media sites. But yeah, ultimately too, just if you are within the area or you're looking to foster, adopt, or volunteer, come to the shelter, come talk to with one of our staff members and become part of the family that we need out in the community. You know, right now we need definitely a lot of people out in the community to come to the shelter and to be a part of the Riverside County Department of Animal Services family.
And if you want to volunteer, you could do it online, the same .com that he gave you, and you can do it all online. You'll receive an email to come in for an orientation. They'll fingerprint you. And then once you just pass everything, then you'll receive an email back to come in for training. Myself and two other people train new volunteers, and it's a pretty simple process.
RCDAS.org?
Yeah, RCDAS.org. Yeah.
Thank you so much for coming in today. Yeah. Thank you for talking with us. And let's have a happy and safe 4th of July for both the humans and the pets.
Yes, thank you. Yeah. Thank you for having us. Yeah, happy 4th of July, everybody.
Thank you.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.